So today we talk about the 55 concepts. You know, we started a couple of weeks ago when we started the first episode on this series. I think we had a pretty good show on the idea of Michael Cavallaro's book, The 55 Concepts, A Guide to Conscious Living. Kelly, you and I looked at each of the concepts, and we talked briefly about some of the ones that caught our attention. But you know, I think it was a moving show for me, because I sort of let some of my anxieties out there on the line about identifying as human. And as we talked about on the show that day, and as I've mentioned previous times on Circle of Angels Radio and on Priestie and the Witch in the Morning, I have a difficult time identifying with the word human. And I'm looking forward to this episode on the 55 concepts and talking with Nancy and Anne-Marie, because if some process out there can help me identify again with the idea of humanity and being whole, spirit and body, then I will love it forever. Yes, and you know, Anne-Marie sent us a message for the first show that I read on the air, and I'll read it again. It says, "We've come to Earth to integrate our spirit with our human, to become the divine human we were intended to be. The human aspect of you is to be developed, nurtured, and awakened. We do not need," this is the line that I really want to talk about. "We do not need," says Nancy, "we do not need to leave the body or ascend from Earth. Raising your consciousness through the human experience raises your frequency, and thereby your spirit descends into the body. Spirituality is being human, resolving issues and integrating dissociated parts of you from this life or any other embodied experience fills the heart and automatically awakens the DNA, shifts your consciousness, and turns on the light body." And I want to talk deeply about this issue of we do not need to leave the body or ascend from the earth. That's, you know me, Kelly, and the listeners have gotten a dose of me over the past year or so, that I'm ready. I'm ready to ascend. And so if the Mastering the Art of Being Human process, or if the 55 concepts can help me deal with not having to ascend, then it's going to be mind-blowing for me and life-changing. So we'll see. So is there anything that, from what we talked about in the first episode, that you're really that is really a sticking point for you that we're going to be bringing up with Nancy and Anne-Marie?
None of them, not on the level that it is for you, but when I was reading over the individual concepts, I would just stop and contemplate each one. Because I mean, mm-hmm. It's easy to just read through them as a list and not think about it. But when you stop and you think about each individual one, you could meditate on one of these, mm-hmm. you know, one concept a day for 2 months. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, I can't wait to see what these ladies have to say that will add to, you know, what I've gotten from this. And the meditating on it for 2 months is something I'm actually thinking of doing. Just taking one concept a day to try to bring into my person and you know, make it my mantra for the day. Anything starts going wrong, I repeat the concept. When I get to sit down and just close my eyes and breathe, think of the concept, think of consciously and subconsciously, find ways to add it into my life and better my existence.
Very good. Well, you know, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's bring on Nancy and Anne-Marie, and let's get this discussion going.
Awesome.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in just about 60 seconds. We'll see you in the circle shortly. Circle of Angels Radio is brought to you by Simply Blessed, 275 Shell Road in Carneys Point, New Jersey, 856-514-2222. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/simplyblessedstore. Come in and remind yourself that every day is a gift, and you are simply blessed. So, let's bring on our guests. Let's see if we can get them on the air. Nancy, can you hear us? You're live in the circle.
I can.
There you go. Hello. Let's bring on... Let's bring on Anne-Marie, and we'll welcome you both officially. Anne-Marie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Very good. Well, listeners, welcome Nancy Baker and Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, say your last name for me.
It is Serator.
Serator. Okay, Nancy Baker and Anne-Marie Serator, representing the Mastering the Art of Being Human process. And ladies, welcome to the circle. We have been so excited to have you on. So before we jump into the questions that Kelly and I have for you, Nancy, let's start with you and then move on to Anne-Marie. Tell us why the 55 concepts have affected your life, and explain to us, what does it mean, mastering the art of being human?
Well, 10 years ago, I had a coaching practice, life coaching, and worked with people all over the world, and yet there were parts of my life that weren't working. I was, you know, master of self-help, positive thinking. Dale Carnegie, Norman Vincent Peale raised me as far as I was concerned, but life still wasn't working for me. So I found this work, and all of a sudden, things that never made sense started making sense. Things that never worked started working. I started to understand how I contributed to everything that was happening in my life, and then later recognized how I not only contributed, I created.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a huge change in my life. And I love what Kelly said about meditating on the concepts for 2 months, because when I started this work, we didn't have this book. So I literally worked with the first three concepts for the first 3 years.
Wow.
And I still, after 10 years, have not found the true depth of them. I mean, they just keep going on and on and on, and yet they're so simple. And so my life totally turned around. And mastering the art of being human came out of the foundation of the concepts, with the idea of we're already spiritual beings. We already have that together on some level, even though we don't remember it. And what we came here to do is master being human and enjoy it. And so it was a whole different philosophy, a whole different way of living than I had seen anyplace else. And most importantly, it worked. So that's a little bit about me.
Mm-hmm. Anne-Marie, tell us about you.
First of all, I'd like to clarify that the Human Spirituality, the Divine Human, was written by Michael and not by Nancy or I. The blurb that we sent you, just wanted everybody to know that.
Oh, that was from Michael. Okay.
That was from Michael Cavallaro.
So that was an excerpt from the book.
That was an excerpt from him to pass on to you. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Very nice.
We didn't write that. My journey was definitely an inner one to start with before I found this process, and I had always felt in my heart there was very much more to know. You know, I too had done many things like Nancy, like therapy and 12-step programs, you name it, you know, tried it, and always felt like there was just got to be something more, because my struggles also of being human, which I can relate to your struggles of being human, have been there. They are not now, but I had those for my entire life since I was a child,
mm-hmm.
and had felt them to very deep places. And when I found this process and was able to really work with my human aspects of self that were needing to get in line was the first level. And then to understand at other levels that this being a human being is spiritual in nature, or why would we have come here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all chose to come here, whether you believe that or not. It's not like you just happened to land on the planet, you know. And I fully believe that. And a lot of people overlook the human, and they're so into the cosmic spirituality and looking for spirit there, when you already are spirit. It's right here in your body. And that, to me, is what our process is all about. Like, working with the human, working with the things that aren't working in your life, the daily life, that's where the foundation, the 55 mm-hmm. concepts, are a wonderful start. And after that, there are other levels of learning and understanding, but they do set the foundation and the tone for that process. And my life has been a 180 since I started over about 20 years ago.
You know, what is intriguing to me is that you both have said that you've tried various other techniques or various other ideas in order to form your life, to live consciously. What was different, if you can even answer this, what was different about the 55 concepts, different from all of the other processes, the 12-step programs, et cetera, that you tried? What made this process work? What made it different?
For me, it was that it didn't gloss over anything.
Okay.
You know, in positive thinking, I was trying to pull myself out of somewhere and kind of cover up what I was feeling, you know, whistle as loud as I could. And with other techniques, I felt like there were a lot of Band-Aids, which were excellent. I needed Band-Aids right then.
Mm-hmm.
But this told me how life worked. It told me how I was creating my own situation. It told me how everything that showed up in front of me was something that I brought to experience, to grow from, however I brought it. But it was mine. And in no other system or no other thing that I had looked at had showed me without judgment so clearly that this was mine and I could make it what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps you go from being a victim to actually being like the captain of your life ship.
Oh, yeah, Kelly, huge.
Right, and once you get that in a feeling sense and a feeling place that the judgment is the source of all your pain, everything that you perceive, everything that you believe in your human, and once you question everything innerly, to the depths that you want to go to, there's many, many levels, as you both know, you start to really feel and experience your life in a totally different fashion. Like, you see things very differently. But you got to get to clear the stuff that's causing you your, quote, pain and difficulties in your human life first, which a lot of people tend to, like, overlook when they're looking for that, like, spirituality thing, you know, because, like I said before, it's already here. We already are it, you know. So that for me was key in the very beginning. Was I felt this process. I felt the energy of it. I felt the change in me very quickly, the directness of it, the really gut-wrenching looking at self. Like, let me tell you, it was you know, said to me, or, you know, if you want to go on this journey, you got to really delve deep and look at everything. And I was ready to do that. Not that it was easy at times. There were some times I really struggled in my human. We all do. And like you, Thomas, I had many, many levels of issues with being a human being
mm-hmm.
that I had to really, really, really address to get to the place of where I really love being here. This is a very spiritual in nature place to be, you know, simply put. Like,
mm-hmm.
we've come here to really enjoy this place, not to have, you know, everybody has their own experience, but I finally
sure.
realized that this is like an amusement park. I'm here to have a good time.
You know, I'm with you on that. I am, and I believe that from not only from the days when I was in, you know, more religious systems, I believed it even then that, you know, even in the Christian system from which I came out of this, we are taught that this place is meant to be a paradise of pleasure for us to experience, to learn, to connect, and to find that divine energy here. But for me, I suppose, and I vented a little bit about this in our first show, it is the drama of dealing with those who are not of the same mind. And it's intriguing to me that the first concept is anything that bothers you is your issue. So why don't we start, let's start here for our listeners. Tell me who will benefit from the 55 concepts. If of those people listening, who is the kind of person who's going to be ready to accept this process? What do our listeners have to be looking for in their lives that will that the 55 concepts will benefit?
I would say people who are looking for more, who want the richness, who want to explore life, and who are willing to do whatever it takes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really the simple version, but, you know, it can cover anybody at any in any way of life who really wants it.
Okay. And when someone starts the journey of working with the 55 concepts and wants to really master the art of being human, what is the A to Z process? If I am starting at A and my life is this way, after finishing this process, when I'm at the point of Z, how will my life be different after I embark on this journey? What are some of the things that are negatives, if you can even say that, painful, low energy experiences that I would experience at point A as I'm starting this journey that will not be there at point Z as I'm, well, really starting the journey, I guess, at that point?
Well, I can answer that as far as I feel and have understood on my journey with this process, it's not
mm-hmm.
linear. It's very free form. What the concepts do is set you up for the next level if you even want to go there. Okay? They're not the end-all, be-all tools. They are a starting point, and they're always there, and they're multidimensional.
Okay.
They go to every level as your understanding grows, as your consciousness grows. As you change, you actually feel them differently and experience them differently. But it
okay.
is a process. We don't have a linear, this is where we start at A and then we go to B.
Okay.
It's designed for whatever you want to do. And in a lot of ways, it's a feeling process. So you can go as far as you want with it. It's really a choice. And we
okay.
never claim to have, like, all the answers because you have your own answers. All this does is set you up to remember that you do have your own answers.
Okay. So if I want to start out on this journey, what are my steps? What are my stages? What do I have to prepare for in the beginning of this journey?
Well, you start with the first few concepts. You know,
okay.
Just very simply, anything that bothers you is your issue. I fought that one for years. For years I would say, no, you don't understand. This time it's them, it's not me. And without fail, it would come back. It was my own issue if it triggered me, if it upset me.
Okay.
And so those people that you talked about that don't understand, aren't on the same path, they're all a gift. Yeah. We don't see them that way because we judge them and we judge ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can move the judgment aside and simply look at, ooh, I was triggered. What is this now telling me about me? It's just a message. It's not them there to tick you off or make you mad. They can't do anything. It's your own wisdom speaking to you. Oh, you want what you want? You need to change this. So they upset me because they gossip. And I don't gossip, so what's the problem? This one's not mine. Well,
okay.
Maybe I don't gossip out loud, but maybe I think about people negatively in my mind. Energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to learn about me. So in the beginning, you're learning about you. You're seeing second concept. People are your mirrors and teachers. You're seeing people as your mirror. And very importantly, the third concept, be kind in all things. And that means start with yourself. So not judging yourself harshly when you see these mirrors and have these triggers. And these three concepts alone in the very beginning will give you an incredible start.
Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of going from victim to being the person in control of your life, that's very interesting to me because it seems like what you've just described in the first three, or just even in the first two concepts, will send the standard thinker into a whirlwind of realization. Because what we do in the first two concepts is make it so that in reality, no one is really trying to hurt you.
That is correct.
So now that's in...
They do them for themselves. Like, everything we do, everything I do, ultimately I do for myself and not in a selfish way, but I do out of a place of what do I want to experience, what do I want to do, what do I want, you know. So looking at others that way, too, like when we feel we're being done to, they're just doing what they do. And just like you were saying about how you see others in the world with their drama, and, well, there's also a level of accepting where everybody is, which is accepting where they're at. In order to do that, obviously, you need to be able to do that, for the most part, fully in yourself. You know, as you know, this is a journey. And once you have that in yourself, you can then feel that as you're watching and observing others doing their thing on Earth, whatever their thing is. Everybody has their own journey. Everybody. And they, as you know, there are many levels to that, and who knows why they are going through those experiences. We are not all on the same exact journey. We all have our own purpose. Like, not even purpose, but we came here for whatever it is we came here.
So let me ask a couple of questions that may seem, I don't know, maybe a little juvenile. In the process of living your life according to the 55 concepts, especially when we talk about we're all here on our own journey to discover whatever it is we are here to discover, is there in the mind, in the thought system of the 55 concepts, a higher power?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Nancy, would you, well, see.
Yeah, there's a concept that says there's no good or bad, there's towards source or away from source.
Yes.
And so what is source to you? You know, what is higher power? Is it within you? Is it outside of you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's going to have their own way of looking at it. But there's also a concept that says we are all things. So, you know, you can ask that question on so many levels. But we are the creators of our experience. We are all things.
Mm-hmm.
We can be our own higher self, higher power, and believe it in the outside, in the form, whatever way we want. But if we are all things, then it's all connected anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer it?
I think you did. You did for me. I think, however, when some of our listeners will hear the concepts and hear more about it as we talk about it, I don't think we're going to be able to do this justice in this one episode. I have a feeling that before we end this episode in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to put the two of you on the spot live on the air and ask you if you'd be willing to come back and feature or focus on just maybe one or two concepts. And we can design a couple of episodes that just talk about one concept or two for a whole episode. I mean it when I say that as I've looked over this material, that it has started to spark something in me that I didn't think could be reawakened. And when I ask the question, is there a higher power in mind in the concepts, I have to tell you that I'm glad that you answered the way you did, because I have come to a place in my spirituality where when I do find these processes, these ways of life that involve sort of surrender to whatever it is that you call your source, your higher power, I get a little antsy with some of these programs, because in many of them, I think that you abdicate your responsibility to create your life, and you're letting go and letting God, per se. And to me, that is an unhealthy way of living. It's the difference between being your own shepherd or someone else's sheep. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that in the way
you
said that, you know, and that is exactly how we feel in that way. That, you know, even that saying that, you know, a higher power, just that word alone, It almost puts you in a place of where there is an authority. Well, you are your own authority. You are your own creator in this world. We are eminence of light. We are from source. We are a part of source, whatever you want to call it. You can call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It's energy. So if we are that, then why would we have an authority outside of ourselves when we are that which is everything and
mm-hmm.
love itself?
So then let me ask another question that may seem a little silly. So then does this mean that the seemingly physical world that we in which we exist, this somewhat of a shared experience in the physical plane, does that mean what happens here? I don't know how to really word this question. Does it mean that what happens here in the physical world is not as important or is not lasting and therefore is not worthy of judgment because it is a shared experience and it's really basically a laboratory? This is our testing place, our learning place. So mistakes here, if I'm understanding this correctly, in the way of the 55 concepts, mistakes that are made either by us or by others to teach us, these mistakes are not written in some mysterious book of judgment that someday we'll have to pay for. Is that right?
Oh, well, I want to play with that one.
Okay.
On a couple levels. First of all, to say we have no dogma. Anything that we say, anything that's on the website, anything that's in the readings, this is all about take what works for you. Leave the rest.
Okay.
We're not trying to sell anything.
Good.
This is
good.
Purely what works for you. And is what happens here important? Well, everything we experience adds to our wisdom. We can have lots of book knowledge. We can have lots of things other people tell us. But our experiences are our wisdom. You mentioned mistakes. We can't make them. We can have discoveries. The discovery that we want to do this again, we don't want to do this again, we like this, we don't like this. But they're not mistakes. They're just discoveries. And if we begin looking at life as having discoveries, what's a mistake? It's a judgment. You judge
okay.
things wrong. May or may not be something we want to repeat, but that doesn't make it wrong.
Okay. You're singing close to my inner song here, Nancy. I like that.
I want to, if I can, add to that. It is important here, and yet on another and at other levels, it may not seem that way. But everything in your human experience, for your experience, is important to you, is it not?
Okay. Oh, I yes, absolutely.
Right.
And I try my very best.
What a multidimensional question you asked.
What's that?
What a multidimensional question you asked about how is it important here. Well, yeah, there's many ways you could answer that question, you know, but
I think you did because what I was getting at is it important here? And certainly, yes, I believe that. But coming, and a lot of our listeners come from the same Christian background that I come from. And, you know, there is this idea that we have to pay some penalty for, as I said, the mistakes that we make. And I'm glad to hear that in the process of the concepts, no, there's no mistakes are judgments and there's no penalty, yet it is important because we've learned from it. It's important because we've gotten closer to the truth of our own path from it. But now the question now that I have is probably going to be one that's a little heavier. What do we do then in the thinking in the way of the 55 concepts when we actually do have someone hurt us? How do the concepts help us deal with the people in the world who commit violent crime, who are abusive to us? How do we not judge that? In other words, if people are our mirrors and our teachers, or if, as the first concept says, anything that bothers you is your issue, How does that hold true for someone who is abused?
Okay. Well, that is a very multidimensional question, too, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of groundwork to cover for anybody on this path to have a, say, different understanding of that. Child mm-hmm. abuse, any kind of abuse, the things that we perceive in the world that are, quote, bad, if you want to, like, use that word, that's
mm-hmm.
a judgment. We don't know on what level they came to choose that experience for their journey.
Okay.
We perceive it as really not good, and we don't say that those things are, say, quote, a good thing or a right thing. And yes, mm-hmm. I understand that is a quandary, but it's definitely some groundwork that needs to be mm-hmm. laid in the human to get to a place of understanding of another perspective where you can see the whole picture.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
And speaking to one level, it's the recognition that we so much are in judgment about it. You know, anything that we take, we can say this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. You know, let's just look at murder for a moment. You know, murder is wrong. But what if your spouse is, you watch them in excruciating pain day after day after day? Is it wrong to help them end it? What if somebody is attacking your family? Is that wrong? You're in war. You're considered a hero. So mm-hmm. we have lots of different ways of looking at it. You know, I grew up Catholic. So, you know, when I was a kid, I'd go to hell for eating meat on Friday. Today I won't.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What changed?
Me too.
Yeah, you know, so what changed? Our judgment changed.
Mm-hmm.
The act didn't change. Meat didn't change. But our judgment changed. You know, when I was a kid, drunk drivers were kind of acceptable. And, you know, I would hear men that my father knew talking about, yeah, I was so drunk last night, I don't know how I got the family home. Well, that's not acceptable today.
Mm-hmm.
What changed? The judgment of it. So this is not condoning anything, but the recognition of how strong our judgment is in what we look at.
Ah, you just gave me a moment there. That's good. As we look, you know, as we look at things over the history of time, certain practices truly have practices that were once accepted are no longer now, and some practices that were not accepted at one point in society have come to be the norm. So okay, so then really, as Concept 11 says, there is no blame. Things just are. It's in, I suppose, in the way that we interpret them for the moment. Fascinating. Okay. Well, now I have some questions about some of the specific concepts. Let me make sure that Kelly is here with us. Kelly, are you still with us? Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Kelly, so far from what we've said, do you have any questions for Nancy or Anne-Marie?
I do. I just don't want to. But I understand what you mean by, like, some things can, you know, you can look at them differently, and some things, you know, like, oh, if you think murder is bad, but what if it's actually self-defense, or what if it's actually, you know, suicide? What about things like rape or child rape? I mean, like, how do you, like especially the sixth one, resolving the issues in the past, resolving issues in the present resolves issues from the past. Like, how do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it is what Anne-Marie said. There's so many levels we couldn't even begin to address it.
Exactly. There would definitely need to be some groundwork in if it was the individual working with them to get to a place of a different, to say, shift a perception. I understand okay. where you're coming from, okay? And many of us that have worked in this process have experienced a lot of those things and have come to a full circle with it, and it did require mm-hmm. process. But it's really about how you perceived the actual act itself, what occurred, rape, okay? So how our perceptions and our judgments are of that. And I do understand that it's not about the act itself. It's about our beliefs about it, our perceptions. Doesn't take away what people experienced through that, for whatever reason they did. It needs to be resolved within the energy bodies, within yourself, at some level, to be free of that feeling.
You know, okay. And let me jump in here for a second, because what it sounds like to me, concept number 14 says acceptance and forgiveness eliminates the need to let go. And Nancy and Anne-Marie, you're the experts on this process, so you tell me. What it sounds like to me is that in our questions about what do you do when someone hurts you, when someone abuses you, when someone commits something against you, number 14, I think, answers that for us. Acceptance and forgiveness eliminate the need to let go. So if I accept, okay, I can't change what happened. I can learn from it. I can change my life in such a way that protects me from it maybe happening again. I can forgive it, not because I have to forgive the person, but because it's in my life, I have to accept it, and harboring any negative emotions or negative or anger towards it isn't going to do me any good. But if I do not allow the experience, even if I am victimized by someone, if I do not allow that experience to continue to permeate my heart energy, then I don't need to let it go. I don't need to ignore it. I can just choose to reinterpret how it lives in my life. Did any of that make sense?
It did. I was following you on that. And like I said, you know, I hate to keep repeating myself, but there is a lot of groundwork to get to that place. And yeah,
absolutely.
Acceptance and forgiveness do eliminate the need to let go. But really, for most humans, does that happen in the instant it's happening? No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, you're experiencing something and you have all these beliefs and all these things and all this stuff we carry, and it requires a little bit of a process in order
mm-hmm.
to diffuse the energy in your own system.
Okay. Let me ask a basic question about how this process works. You keep saying it's the, you know, X thing is the issue in the human, with the human. And in the quote that now we know correctly came from Michael Cavallaro, it says here, "We have come to Earth to integrate our spirit with our human, to become divine, the divine human we were intended to be. The human aspect of you is to be developed, nurtured, and awakened. We do not need to leave the body or ascend from Earth." And so let's talk a little bit about that idea in and of itself. What do each of you believe? How do each of you believe? What do you believe about the relationship between your human, I suppose, the human shell, the human body, and the spirit that is within, over, I don't know, how do you describe it, in the human? I know from my former Christianity, my former Catholicism, we have a very specific way of describing the connection of body and spirit. So how does that formula work in the process of mastering the art of being human?
Well, your body is your consciousness. Your body is your manifestation of your spirit.
Okay.
You are, it's all one. Again, many levels of explanation on this.
Okay.
But that is what he's basically saying in that is many of us, all of us actually, in our own way, have come here to experience that in the human form. Not to be floating around, say, the cosmos, you know?
Okay.
To bring that here, to bring that frequency here, your spirit and your body, one and the same. Many levels to that, many explanations to that, but that's pretty much the simple version.
And in our human experience, we've formed a lot of beliefs. And so those beliefs kind of block our understanding sometimes of how life really works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so clearing them up gives us a clearer understanding, a clearer ability.
So there is no... I'm sorry, Nancy, go ahead.
No, just to live more consciously.
Mm-hmm. So then there is no dualism here. There is no body is separate from spirit, and it's just sort of been smushed together for a time being. So in this process, the body is not some foreign animal that the spirit is riding like a horse.
That's great.
Right.
Is that right? Am I getting that with you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you've got it.
Great. So then when it says here, we do not need to leave the body or ascend from Earth, does this mean that in living the idea of the 55 concepts, living the idea of mastering the art of being human, does that mean that, this is going to sound like a silly question, but does it mean that this process will allow us to live and exist as in the human form forever? Where does death come into play, and how does the 55 concepts or mastering the art of being human, how does it account for the idea of the death that we see in this life walk, in this human earth walk?
Well, in my understanding, you know, you many levels again, but you have a choice of when you want to go. And
okay.
You might decide that, you know, whenever, and, you know, your spirit, your decides, you know, I'm done, and I'm going to do whatever it is my next form of my journey is, and wherever that may be.
Well, I've tried that so far, and somebody's not listening. So how do you just decide you're done? Come on, Anne-Marie, give me the
secret. I mean,
secret
that's
here.
Another level, too. I mean, it's not like you're consciously, it's not like you're in your human mind saying, okay, you know, I mean, I'm done here, but, you know.
Oh, no, I don't know if I agree with that.
Maybe, you know.
I've
like
tried.
It's really what you, how you want to perceive that. I mean, basically, like, to live here in this embodiment fully with your spirit, more of a descension into the body than an ascension, and bringing it all here and having a full, rich experience through this form, a sensory experience on this planet, is what we're talking about.
Okay.
You know, and to really be enjoying the experience here. Or why would we have come? You know, like...
Right,
I'm just putting that out there. Why would we have come here? Okay, a lot of people get so serious about it, too. Yeah, there's a time and a place for that when you need to do the process for your own self, whatever process you do. But in the lightness place of it, we came here to have an experience. Simple as that.
So then, okay, another silly question perhaps. When we decide, if those of us decide that they've had enough of their human experience and then they can ascend or change or do something else, then what? Where do you believe a person goes when the bodied experience is over? I'm just curious about that. It has maybe nothing to do with 55 concepts. I just want to get into your head a little bit.
And the first part is we decide. You know,
okay.
Some of us think that we decide from our human aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not exactly what the final decision is going to be.
Okay.
If there's something that our spirit wants to experience, we're going to be here to experience it.
Okay.
Where do we go? Where do we want to go? What do we want to experience? The universes are huge. We have options that we can't even imagine.
Amen. Amen.
Exactly.
Anywhere.
Yep.
Amen. I'm fascinated by this entire perspective. I really am. And I think that it warrants some more dialogue. So when I said a few minutes ago that I would ask the two of you if you'd like to come back and do a couple of more episodes on specific concepts, I meant that. So Anne-Marie, Nancy, would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Then I will say this. Let us try to put something together, even if we did for a while one concept a month, if you all would be willing to come back and do that, and maybe Michael would be willing to come on and talk to us at some point. But I would say let's see what would be the best way to start this out. And maybe we can start with simply doing an episode on the first concept, and we can work on that for a couple of weeks from now. And let's see if we can show our listeners and our audience just exactly what each of the concepts can do for your life. I desperately wanted to have the two of you on here so that we could exchange our energies, we could exchange ideas, we could see where the spirit took this conversation. But now I want to be able to give some meat to our listeners, and for those Catholics, don't worry about the meat. We air on Mondays, so you don't have to worry about Friday meat. Nobody's going to hell here on Circle of Angels. So I want to be able to give some meat to our listeners, and I think we can do that by focusing on several of the concepts for an entire show. Anything that bothers you is your issue, I love. But I will tell you, There are two concepts that I would like to focus on together, and I'm going to pick on you a little bit for this one. And if Michael's listening, I want to bring it to his attention too. I'm curious about concept 28 and concept 30. Concept 28 says, you are not your behaviors. But then concept 30 says, own your behaviors.
Oh, yep. So you are not your behaviors. Let's look at behaviors for a moment, like our clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we show to the world. It's what we wear. And so I've got on a purple and orange shirt, and I can love it or hate it. But imagine that I hate it, but I don't own it. I don't believe it's mine. So I'm going to go around complaining about how I hate this purple and orange shirt. And my mother bought it for me, and it's not my fault, and it's not my problem, and I didn't do it. And I'm going to go around crying for a long time about this purple and orange shirt. But if I own it, if I know this is my shirt, I put it on, well, then all I have to do is take it off. So I'm not my behaviors. But without owning them, I can't change them. So I have to own that in order to be changing. Own it doesn't mean it's bad or wrong. It just means it's mine.
Yeah.
It just means
accepting that it is. Like, it's when you own it, when you own, like, say you yelled at somebody. And, you know, you really don't like that you do that. Well, guess what? The only way to change that is to really feel that within self. Like, you know what? Yes, I did that. I have to own that behavior. I did that. But at my essence, at my core, I am not that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
This is not who I am. That is just a display of a belief system or a pattern or whatever it is that I was triggered by. That is what the behavior displayed.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting what you just said. It's part of the belief system. In Michael's book, there was a section of it that I enjoyed, the section that's called Uncovering Your Beliefs. And it says in there that you have to uncover your beliefs to get to the root of your issues. I can't tell you how many people really don't understand what they believe. And I, you know, even going back to the religious systems in which I ministered, how easy it is to have people in the pews especially profess their belief in something without ever understanding what are the ramifications of that belief system in their life and in what they create in their lives. And so it's intriguing to me that much of the 55 concepts has to do with belief.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, you know, they don't understand that your belief system is really creating what you experience in this life. And, you know, it says, there was one of the concepts, let me look and see, this says, 23, that's it. You can only see that which you know. Tell me about that one, because if I'm understanding it correctly, that also has to do with your belief system.
Well, it absolutely does. Like, if you don't know that, then you're not going to be able to see it. It'll be foreign to you. You might not even see it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is that, you know, the beliefs that you hold or carry, they create your reality. So you're going to see that reality. That'll
Amen.
Be real to you.
You know, this is important. Nancy, you mentioned that you grew up Catholic, and if you all know any of my backstory, so did I, and even ministered in Catholicism for a long while. And so that would mean that this was a realization that I came to in Catholicism, and this is why I had to leave it, one of the reasons why I had to leave it. You know, the concept 22 says life is a projection of your beliefs. If I am in a faith system that believes that I am at risk for judgment, and that it is possible for me to sin, and that I am a wretched creature who needs to be saved from some terrible existence, then I'm going to project a life, a world around me that is going to dance according to the music of those beliefs.
Absolutely. You know,
and
I would feel... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I woke up one day and said, you know, if I want my world to change, I got to change. If I want the world to change, I have to change the music of my belief so that the world dances differently. I wanted it to dance to a happy tune and not a funeral dirge all the time.
And I was very lucky. In first grade, the nun said, if you're not Catholic and you don't go to church on Sunday, you are not going to heaven. And my best friend was Protestant, and my father didn't go to church.
Wow.
And at first I thought, wow, I want to go wherever they're going. It's going to be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And later, as I looked at it, I thought, wait a minute. That's not a God that I know. They must be thinking of another one. So mm-hmm. I felt fortunate that I went through 12 years of Catholic school
mm-hmm.
not buying it, because in my heart I felt that whatever God was, it was love. It wasn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It wasn't, you know, love wasn't going to put my father in hell because
right.
he didn't go to church.
And, you know, we don't condone any religions, any practices, anything. Like, whatever is your journey, and
sure.
I, too, 12 years of Catholic school right here, you know, understand the people that have some issues as of when they come out of that. I understand there's some stuff that you might carry energy from our bringings up, you know, but to question everything. And, you know, I had done that from a little child. Like, the things that were taught to me, they didn't make sense. There was a
mm-hmm.
lot of contradiction to me, even as a little girl. And not to say that I didn't carry some of the energy of that, but I had to resolve that within me and just know that
right.
it was what it was.
Right.
That simple.
Wow. Well, you know...
And I'm going to take the other side just for a moment.
Sure.
That my mother-in-law lived her whole life dedicated to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, in her way of looking at life, it worked. So there's no right or wrong. There's no good or
that's
bad.
Right.
It worked for you.
But, you know, the
answer
to that, too, is that's probably a woman who lived a good life regardless and probably lived according to the 55 concepts without labeling it like that anyway.
Absolutely.
And this is why I love this idea of the concepts. And with only 3 minutes left, we'll say again that Kelly and I really are looking forward to having you all back to talk about them individually, because
yes,
I think
definitely.
what comes through to me is this universal idea of love, that this experience, this human experience is divine. It is something, it is an experience that can be beautiful if we make it beautiful, but there are divine truths that I see reflected in many beautiful spiritualities that really just, they're present here in the 55 concepts. And even those, what I love about the concepts when I first read it is even those changes, those inner changes that I've gone through and I've seen others in their spiritual path go through, changes that we didn't have a label for or I couldn't describe. Just the natural processes of becoming a more divinized creature. These processes were labeled nicely in the 55 concepts, and so I'm really looking forward to getting you folks back on, and we'll work that out off air and bring you back on to do, as I say, a couple concepts featured each month would be wonderful. To let our audience really experience the concepts individually to see just how they can make a positive impact in the lives of those who are living according to the concepts. But again, folks, and Nancy and Anne-Marie, are there any other websites that you want to give out that our listeners can check out to find out more about the 55 concepts and mastering the art of being human? Nancy?
Actually, they will have absolutely plenty on that website.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, in
and
closing,
newsletters and excuse me, there's newsletters and membership areas that
oh,
they
it's
can
it's
sign
great.
Up for.
Mm-hmm. And not just that, there are videos, there are audio clips that you all can listen to. It really is a wonderful resource, and I'm really happy that it exists.
Thank you. And you know, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to email or contact us via the contact page. I'll be more than happy to answer anybody. So anytime.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, thank you again for coming on, Nancy. Anne-Marie, we'll talk, you and I will talk off air, and we'll plan out these next guest shots for you to come on and talk about the 55 concepts. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for this episode. Kelly, do you want to say goodbye to Nancy and Anne-Marie and to the listeners?
Yes, Nancy, Anne-Marie, thank you for tonight. It was great. I loved listening to you guys, and I look forward to having you back. And I also just want to say happy third birthday to Cassie. She's going to be 3 in 2 days.
Oh, that's your daughter. Well, very good. We're glad you said that. Happy birthday, Cassie. Okay, folks, until next time, we'll see you on Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. for Priesty and the Witch in the Morning, and then again on Monday at 7 p.m. for Circle of Angels Radio. Nancy and Marie, thank you. Be blessed as always, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Kelly, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, and listen up, Wednesday morning, 9:30. We'll see you. Be blessed, folks. Circle of Angels Radio is brought to you by Simply Blessed, 275 Shell Road in Carneys Point, New Jersey, 856-514-2222. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Simply Blessed Store. Come in and remind yourself that every day is a gift, and you are simply blessed.